A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that none will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Every time we come to Mass, which is the greatest prayer in the whole universe, all of us should pray fervently, privately, but the Mass is Opus Dei, which means it's actually the work of God, because our prayer is our own work collaborating with the Holy Spirit. We should always bring many intentions. And today I invite all of you to pray for our confirmation teenagers who will be confirmed tomorrow. We actually have 2 Masses, one at 10 o'clock, another one at 2 o'clock, and Bishop Clark will be presiding over the ceremony. So I ask all of you to pray for them, as well as their godparents and parents, that they will persevere. Many years ago, I was with the other priests having a meal in a restaurant, and a waitress came and they saw us sitting there, and she said, "Are you Catholics?" And I said, "Yes, we're Catholic priests." I asked the girl, "Are you a Catholic?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, did you make your first communion?" "Yes." He asked her, "Were you confirmed?" "Yes." And they said, when were you confirmed?" She said, "About 10 years ago." I said, "Do you go to Mass?" And I said, "No." She said, "No." "And when was the last time you went to Mass?" She said, "10 years ago." Let's pray that that will not be the case with our confirmation students tomorrow. Okay, today we celebrate our patron feast day. Today is St. Peter Chanel. But also today we celebrate two other saints. So what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to mention these three saints and give you a minute or two summary of one idea in the life of these great saints. So today we celebrate Saint Peter Chanel, our patron saint. And behind me to my left is a stained glass window in honor of Saint Peter Chanel. And you can see that he has a rosary, and you can see a palm branch that's next to him. And he's standing on, seems to be on palm branches. The other stained glass window is our founder, Venerable Father Bruno Lanteri. We'll pray that he'll become a saint one day. Two more miracles to go. Okay, the other two saints are the one I'm going to mention, though, all of you have heard, I hope so. His name is Saint Louis de Montfort. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
I hope so. The other saint, probably very few have heard of her. And she died when I was 6 years old and canonized at the end of the pontificate of Saint John Paul II. And her name is Saint Gianna Beretta Mola. So probably, maybe none of you have ever heard of her. You have? Well, praise the Lord. Okay, a word on each of these saints. Okay, Saint Peter Chanel was born in 1803 and died 1841. He was born in France. And he became a priest, a Marist priest, the same order that Father Thomas Dubay belonged to, who died a few years ago. Marist means the Society of Mary. And he wanted to become a missionary. So he was sent to the islands of Oceania, to the island of Futuna. And his work was very, very difficult. Very difficult. Number one is he is very difficult to learn their tribal language, almost impossible. He tried. Very difficult to learn another language. But he did the best he could with a brother to help out the people, to teach them the best he could. And every day he'd come back to his little hut and he was exhausted. He was drenched with perspiration. But he was always joyful, even in the midst of his hard work. He was there a relatively short time and had very, very little success, what appeared to be. But he said, hey, the seeds of Christianity are planted deep. The seeds are planted. So what he did was he tried to destroy a lot of the pagan superstition. And the chieftain heard of this and was very, very angry. So one day, the day before, he made a prophecy that he was going to be a martyr. They sent some thugs that surrounded his hut and they actually clubbed him to death. They actually knocked out his brains. they really did it. So there he is, dead. Okay. Shortly after that, the whole island was converted. And the other islands near that island were converted. And I've read, I don't know if it's still true, that this is where Catholicism is flourishing most in the world. At least it was a few years ago. And it's very interesting. Okay, what's the message there? Is that we can't always depend on visible external success. Very difficult. We can't always depend on visible external success. Honestly, that's a huge temptation for me anyway. It really is. I like to see big numbers. I like to see a lot of people in the groups. I like to see confessional lines always at least 35. I mean, I like numbers. But that's not the way God works. And I'm going to give you a biblical verse that hopefully you'll all memorize, which summarizes the work of St. Peter Chanel. Are you listening? St. Paul says, I planted, Apollo watered, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives success. So we have to plant, we have to water, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives success. Remember one talk of Fulton Sheen, who said this, who was the greatest preacher and teacher that ever lived? Jesus Christ. Who? Okay, Jesus Christ, obviously. Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher and teacher that ever lived. He'd be preaching, sometimes there'd be 5,000 people there without a microphone. Sometimes preaching from the boat, from the mountain. His best homily was from the cross, as Fulton Sheen says. Here we have the most famous preacher and teacher in the world. He ends his life and only 3 of his followers were with him at the end of his life. Think about that. Here you have the greatest preacher or teacher, God himself, at the end of his life, underneath the cross, only 3 remained. For me, that's always encouraging when it seems as if things are falling apart. And who was there? Mary, his mother, St. John, his best friend, and a former prostitute, from which Jesus cast out 7 devils. That was, of course, Mary Magdalene. So I say that parallel to St. Peter Chanel. Basically, his missionary work seemed to be a total failure. Really? Seemed to be a failure. But it wasn't, because he worked with love, with perseverance, and he watered it by prayer and his own blood. And that was enough to allow God to do the work and to convert this island and many other islands. By the way, in the old church, there is a bust or a statue of him. When I arrived before, I thought it was George Washington. So it kind of looks like George Washington. Okay, another saint, a word on him. His name is Saint Louis de Montfort. Probably the reason why I'm here is because in 1976, many years ago, I made my first consecration to Mary. 1976. What is that? 41 years ago. I made my first consecration to Mary with my mother in New Hampshire. In the Church of St. Mary's in Hillsborough, New Hampshire. And after, with that, I felt a really strong calling to become a priest. So I owe my priesthood, in a certain sense, to St. Louis de Montfort and my consecration to Mary. How many people here are consecrated to Mary? How many have done the consecration of St. Louis de Montfort? Okay, some of you have. So what you might do today, in honor of St. Louis de Montfort, is to renew your consecration to Mary. So you can do that today. In a private way, maybe in your room you have the prayer of consecration. You probably don't have it here. Consecrate yourself to Mary. And St. Louis de Montfort in the book says that this is a day in which you can reconsecrate yourself to Mary. St. Louis de Montfort. Okay, in parallel to Saint Peter Chanel, Saint Louis de Montfort suffered, like the apostles today, were flogged, suffered a lot of persecution. A lot of persecution. A lot of suffering. From priests, from bishops, from lay people. And he died very young. And one of the reasons why he died young was he was poisoned at the end of his life. And that brought his life to a quicker end. He was probably one of the strongest saints in the Catholic Church. He was about 6'3", 6'4". He was so strong physically and spiritually, but they poisoned him. But the key note in St. Louis de Montfort is that he loved Jesus through Mary. And he says that the quickest, easiest, most secure way for us to go to Jesus is through Mary. So consecration to Mary, true devotion to Mary, is the basic message I would like to communicate today in honor of that great saint. I invite all of you to renew your consecration to Mary. And pray for me, because starting on Monday, I'm going off on mission again every Tuesday until next year. I'm going to Compton to La Victoria. If you could pray for my new missions that I'm undertaking. Okay, finally, today we celebrate also Saint Gianna Beretta Mola. She should be the model for all young women. I invite all mothers. How many mothers here have daughters? Any mothers have daughters? Okay, she should be the model for your daughters. I don't think there's any saint that is so well-formed intellectually, apostolically, morally, spiritually, professionally, than this saint that died when I was 6 years old, in 1962. So she's a modern saint. Now, how did she die? Very interesting. She always wanted to get married, and she prayed for her future spouse, who was Pier Luigi Mola. Okay, they had one child, and she was both a doctor as well as a surgeon, okay, in Milan. Okay, and she was a great mother, a great spouse. She played tennis. She was a mountain climber. I mean, she just lived her life to the fullest. She was an Acción Católica, very apostolic. She gave advice to young women. And she just wanted to have a big family. She was pregnant with her fourth child. And something was going wrong. There was a tumor that was growing next to the baby. And they told her to have an abortion. And she said, no, if you have to choose between me and the child, choose the child. Let the child live. So she went through a very difficult pregnancy. And she was watching over her children and working at the same time almost until the baby was born. The baby was born very healthy. And within a few hours, within about a day or two, Gianna Moretta Mola died. In a certain sense, you could almost call her a martyr, patron of pro-life. And a few years ago in San Diego, her daughter, who is now a doctor, came to San Diego and was giving talks. When she was canonized, this is the one of the most unique canonizations in the history of the church. Who was there at her canonization? Her husband, who was in, I think he was in his close to 90 years old, and her four children, among which was her little daughter, who was given her name, Gianita Mola. What a beautiful example for the modern world. Beautiful example for women, for mothers, for doctors, for nurses, as well as for the pro-life movement. So today, at least in our church, we're celebrating a great, great feast day. We're celebrating our patron saint, Saint Peter Chanel. So my prayer to Saint Peter Chanel, to Saint Louis de Montfort, to Saint John de Bretamola would be this, that all the people who come to this parish will be filled with peace and joy and happiness in this life and in the life to come. Amen.